What are we on to? Oh, yeah. Face Like an Angel. This morning, we were at Tell Your Story. It was the idea that Peter and John were broken out of prison by an angel, and the command was to go stand in the temple courts and tell the story. And so your work, this bear is really distracting. Like, I looked over, and I was like, whoa! Is that a polar bear on the front row? And your work was to say, what would you tell? What would you tell? As we move into Acts 6, 7, and 8, we're going to get, functionally, the third sermon recorded in the early church. Peter gets the first two. Stephen gets the next one. Let's catch up. Acts chapter 5, the end of the chapter says this. They called in the apostles in and had them flogged. Just really quickly, good thing or bad thing to be flogged? This means good, this means bad. Go ahead and show me. Yay, hooray, hooray. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. There's that phrase again. And they let them go. The apostles leave the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the proper noun. I know all you English geeks in here are geeking out with me as a former English teacher, for those of you just dropping in on the first time or not, geeking out with me. This is interesting. Look at it really quickly. The apostles left that they were worthy of suffering for the proper noun name. Day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching, they never stopped proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So, this morning we asked this question, why do good things happen to bad people? And then we flipped it and we said, why do bad things happen to good people? And we didn't answer it. You guys talked about it, but we didn't settle. So what I'd like you to do is I would like you to answer it from the sandals of Peter and John, please. How would Peter and John answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Here's the bad things if you forgot it already. Flogging, suffering disgrace. How would they answer the question? Would they say, in a bad thing, I got to see an angel. In a bad time, I had to pray more, trust more. In a bad place, the story of Jesus went to the worst people. In the bad moment, the courage I needed came. In the bad thing, my experience let me understand Jesus and the cross a little bit more. Make sense to everybody? How would they answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Ready, go. Oh, you all stop talking, so does that mean we're good? Okay, we know the right answer? Okay, let's just kind of, oh yeah. Thank you. Let's roll through it then. All right, so obviously there's no wrong answer here. Basically what I'm looking for is what you think the best answer is, okay? And then at the very end, if we need to add some, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we can do that. Everybody good? Okay, so why do bad things happen to good people? Is it to see something supernatural? None of us want to take that one as the most valuable, okay? In a bad time, I have to pray more, trust more. All right, so it's a unidirectional thing. I have to pray more, like it's about me growing and talking to God in that moment. Okay, good. In a bad place, the story went to the worst people. Who's the worst people in the setting? The ones who are throwing them in jail, right? And they're like, wait, what the heck? And then Peter shows up, okay? Got a few of us, I'll take it. In a bad moment, the courage I needed came from God himself. How many of this? Okay, here we go. Kind of starting to get a few. Peanut gallery? Not yet? Okay, very good. In a bad thing, my experience let me understand Jesus and his path towards the cross, on the cross a little bit more. Good. Okay, somebody wants to add a little bit? Yes. Okay. So maybe the question is a bad one, is what I'm hearing you say. And the general nature of the world that we live in is bad stuff happens, and we need saviors at that point. I'll take that. Yes, sir? Excellent. So bad things happen, good people, in order to show and test our faith. One of my favorite verses from the Old Testament, this is not in your notes, is Deuteronomy 6:8. You know why I led you through the desert for 40 years? To humble you and to test you. Man, 40 years of testing? You thought 40 days was bad. You thought 3 days of my preaching was bad. Here we go. This is incredible. This is the book of Romans, so we just put a finger in it. And this is from the Message version. The resurrection life you receive from God is not timid, and it is not a grave-tending life. It is adventurously expectant. It greets God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" And we are going to get what is coming to us. Something unbelievable in an inheritance. But guys, check out this line in here. This is Romans 8:17. We are going to go as for good people, right? As good people or as bad people. We are going to go through hard things in life. We will go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, we will certainly go through the good. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained that Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Again, we're back to this principle that guys, as I work with high schoolers, college kids, and young adults, bad things to good people is one of the fundamental questions. And so we're getting it yet again. What's the problem here in this little setting? Is it the size of the church, the size of the food pantry, the fairness of the food pantry, the hearts of the people in the food pantry, the types of people in the food pantry? Let's look at it one more time. You know what the question is? The number of disciples is increasing. The Hellenistic Jews are complaining against the Hebraic Jews because widows are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So if you can identify the problem, I need you to create a solution. Everybody good? Ready, go. Okay. Really quickly, is the problem the size of the church, the number of disciples growing? Do we just have like a speed problem? Remember, it's 120 into 3,000 into 5,000, and now it's like we're into more. Guys, the church is exploding in the city of Jerusalem. Exploding in the city. So that's not the problem. Nobody? Okay. We'll take it. Is it the size of the food pantry? Yeah? Do we have a solution? Okay. No? Maybe? Yeah? No? No? Okay. All right. Is it the fairness of the food pantry? Fairness. Got a couple of us? Okay, I'll take that. Got a solution? Yeah?
You need to make sure that the people you have giving out the food are very like just in their actions and equal. Because in these days, a lot of widows, women in general, but widows especially, were very overlooked and very down.
I love it. We're going to talk through why. That's coming up. Very nice. All right? Hearts of the people in the food pantry? All right, we're starting to get more. Solution? This is the hard one. Yeah? All right. Let's, someone I haven't heard from, maybe. Yes. Emma, right? Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Sharing the gospel, and what that does is going to help begin to turn their heart, because the heart of the gospel is the life, death, and resurrection. And so it's the sacrificial nature of Jesus and the fact that he gives that spirit to us. I love it. All right, the beginning is the types of food. Does anybody want to look at the types of people, Hellenistic, Hebraic? Got a few of us? Good. Can anybody identify a solution here? That's a harder one. Let me talk you through it. I wonder if this is a part of the solution. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, we see almost identical lifestyles that were being lived. And by the time we hit Acts 6, we're finding problems. or at least it's hard to live out this life. Let's look at why. This is both cultural and racial. That's why we have the two different types of groups. But look at the fine print. This is what I was telling Declan was coming. Lots of Jewish families lived and worked in other countries, but they would come back to Jerusalem when the patriarch, the man of the house, was nearing the end of his life, so that way he could die close to home, close to Jerusalem. Therefore, the number of widows that were around Jerusalem was the highest out of anywhere. And so this, we remember from Acts chapter 3, the man that we named Ron sitting outside the gate called Beautiful, what was he doing? He's looking for alms. This is one of the beautiful things. This was not just for those. The law that was given in the Old Testament were to care for the widow and the orphan. And so whenever the patriarchs would move back to Jerusalem, the alms that the Jewish people would give as a part of the law were to take care of those women. Declan, really great, really great. Here we go. So here's what happened. Here's our solution. The 12 gather all the disciples together and they say, it's not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. This means we like that phrase. This is like, I don't know. This is like, I don't like that phrase. Ready, go. I like that phrase. I don't know. I don't like that phrase. Interesting. It's hard for us to make a judgment call. We can talk about it. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Choose some people from among you who we know are full of the capital S Spirit. We will turn this responsibility over to them and they will, and we'll give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The proposal pleases everyone. I was reading this in my commentary. So what you guys don't know is that the work that I do in quiet is I read like 6 or 7 different authors and I try to learn as much as I can about it. And so what I love at this is what tells us this, full of spirit is the idea that through the attitude, the actions, and the effectiveness, what we are watching is the Holy Spirit turns out. We see the external of the internal spirit in them. We see the external through their attitudes, actions, and effectiveness because of the internal spirit in them. This is really cool. Here is what comes next. They choose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, I don't know if that's pronounced correctly, Timon, Pumbaa, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so, it wasn't really Pumbaa. I know you're all titter-titter. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem again increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. We've used this word faith for several days in a row now, and I think it's probably high time that we define it. Like, anybody practice martial arts? Horse stance, is that a real thing? Right, it's this idea that your feet are a little more than shoulder width, if I'm correct. And the idea is that your knees are bent, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to lock yourself to the ground. The word for faith means stable. Locked to the ground. And guys, and I'm getting ready to tell you a story. You were all so great today to my Rosie, right? Her birthday today, turning 8. The reason they picked Stephen is because he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of faith. And he was locked in and he was stable to God's promises. I want to tell you this story about Rosie really quickly. This was us bringing her home in our car the first day, but we didn't bring her home from the hospital because Rosie is adopted. We were bringing Rosie home as a 4-day-old from her birth mom's house. And so, guys, I want you to meet Emily Rose and Rosie. This was an incredible time in my wife and I life. We had Anson, who was 4.5 years old. We had Quinn, who was 2.5 years old. And And Emily was a girl in my youth group at the church that I was a pastor at. And she came to Laura one morning and she said, "Laura, we have to talk." And my wife said, "Are you pregnant?" Just like that, Emily said, "I am." Laura said, in her spirit, capital S, she heard the Holy Spirit say, "This is your daughter." Like an audible thing, right? You get goosebumps talking about that. We're driving home that day from church, and she tells me, and I said, "Heck no. That's how rumors get started. There's no way. That's like way too messy. You can't adopt a kid from inside your own youth group and then try to stay at that church and then have Rosie be in your church where the girl is still in your youth group. And so every day she's like, that's just way too messy." And Laura, my wife, is so wise. She says, "Josh, I just need you to pray about it. You don't have to answer." It took me about 2 weeks until this reality showed up, that we were going to adopt Emily the same way we were going to be adopting Rosie for the rest of our life. So sure enough, 9 months go on, and God begins to grow not only this baby inside Emily's belly, but he begins to grow our hearts to a deeper and deeper understanding of adoption. And so this is Tyler, this is Emily. You can see Quinn, who you've seen running around with us, and some other tall kid. And here is the amazing, amazing piece. Not only did we ultimately end up adopting Emily Rose, but we also got Tyler. And along with Tyler came Jerry and Sandy and Amber and Kurt. And along with Emily Rose came Bob and Ann. And guys, I am right now living like in an open adoption story with one of my kids. Whew. And here's what I need you to know. Faithfulness is this idea that I am locked into, that I am so stable, so that I am so secure in the promises of God. And this is what he says. He says that when you know Jesus, when you hear the Spirit begin to call you and you respond, you are adopted into his family. You remember this slide from Romans 8. What I did was I cut out verse 16. Now I've added it back in so you can read it. Look at it with me. The resurrection life you've received from God is not timid. It is not grave tending. It's adventurous. It's expectant. It's a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" And we know what we're going to get. I'm sorry. We know we're going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance. Oh, here comes verse 16. Sorry, I forgot that slide. God's Spirit touches our spirit, and he confirms who we really are. Guys, this is the promise of faith. We are adopted into the family of God. We know him, and he knows us, father and children. This is something that I love to tell. Because if you are in Christ, then you are adopted. And what I love, love, love is this story that's going on. It is God's Spirit in Stephen. And we know from the Acts 4 that there's beginning to be a cost. There's beginning to be a cost for having faith. Here it comes on Stephen. Stephen is a man full of God's grace and power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose for men of the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene, Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia. They begin to argue with Stephen. Guys, but here's what faithfulness looks like. They could not stand up to. They could not stand up to the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. And since they couldn't stand up to it, the men then began to do some bad things to a good person. They secretly persuaded some men to say, "We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God." They stir up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seize Stephen. They bring him before the Sanhedrin. They produce false witnesses. They testify, "This fellow never stops speaking." And guys, they don't have a response for what the Spirit makes Stephen look like. They don't have his faith. They don't have God's power. The Holy Spirit with him, by him, and in him. They look at him intently, and they see his face is like that of an angel. And so we get to the part where you guys then begin to talk. Just like this morning, there are so many characters happening. There's Stephen, there's false witnesses. You remember the poho, the rulers, the assembly. They're all there, and the crowd's listening. We'll go back. We'll read it one more time. You guys will talk, and then we'll get ready to break. Everybody good? We're reading the Bible together. Guys, this is the power of Christ. It's the Word coming alive, and you are doing it with me. You ready? Pick one of your people. Let's read it one more time, then you talk. Stephen is a man full of God's grace and power. Stephen is performing great signs, wonders and signs among the people, and opposition will arise. From members of the synagogue of the freedmen, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, the provinces of Sicilia and Asia, and they begin to argue, but they cannot stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gives him as he speaks. They secretly persuade some men to say, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words." Someone has to do that in this room today. They stir up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seize Stephen. They bring him before the Sanhedrin. That's you, police. They produce false witnesses. That's some people in this room who then are caught lying in the Bible. Fellow never stops speaking against the holy place, against the law. Everyone is staring, sitting in the Sanhedrin, and they see Stephen's face is like that of an angel. Why don't you take 2 minutes? Ready, go. So cool. Cool. All right, we're good. We're going to go quickly, and then we're going to close down well. You ready? Okay. What's it like to be Stephen? Yeah, I've got a couple people here. Yeah? No? Okay.
For Stephen, it's going to be partially annoying because he knows he's right. A bunch of people realize he's right, and now he has to prove himself. Mm.
Right, but he still feels, he says, it's pretty annoying to feel like you have to prove yourself. How many agree have been there? I know I'm right, but it still stinks to have to prove myself. Yeah?
I'm sure he felt a lot. Well, seeing that his face was like an angel, he probably was experiencing, you know, the Spirit was probably at peace.
I love that. He said, with your face like an angel, there's probably a sense of peace that comes with it. Let me get last one. Sorry, man. Why is that? He has to stand up against overt lying. I appreciate that. All right, so how about you liars in the room, you false witnesses? What's it like? Yeah. Jealousy and credit. I like that. Okay, is that truly an idea, or is your friend helping you? Raise your hand. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, she said, I want to skedaddle as fast as possible. Last one. Oh, sorry. Hey, Emma, let me go here in front, two rows up. You're okay. I think so. Yeah, she said, probably there's a sense of guilt that comes with the knowledge that I have just produced false witness. I've just lied. I mean, I've been there, right? I have caught myself in a lie. I know what that's like. Guys, we can appreciate this. All right, please, anybody? Yeah, front row. No? Okay. Yes. I like that. Yeah, I want to do some investigation, right? I like that. The police is supposed to be just, not just carry out a job. There's supposed to be a righteousness underneath it. I appreciate that. Okay, rulers, assembly, let's put them together. The folks looking for a problem, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. She said, man, they've got to keep their position. I think that's really wise. These guys have to keep their position. I'm going to go back row. Yes. I love that. Yeah. Job's in jeopardy. Awareness of wisdom. And the thing that is showing that there's a ton of wisdom is the number of disciples are just growing. Not the schnoodle, I think, is the message version, if you keep reading it. Big ending.
Yeah, I think something that, as the police, the ruler of any assembly, you think, you'd see his face as an angel, and you think, wow, we really screwed it up this time.
Right. Whenever you see this going on with Stephen, you're like, uh-oh. Yeah, for sure. We mess it up this time. Okay, crowd's listening in. Anybody out there got a good idea for us? Yes. I'll come next here. Yes, go ahead. Absolutely, yeah. So the believers in the room are like, what the heck? I think we've heard that before. Absolutely, yeah. It's almost the idea of, I know Stephen, right? Stephen has been selected. I mean, we see it two different times. We see that he's selected because he is full of the Spirit. He is full of faithfulness. I know you can't talk. You got a hoarse voice. Big ending, last one. Yes, sir. Shh. Go ahead. I love that. Okay, so this is a really good place for us to end on. The crowds listening who know Stephen, we saw it for ourselves that Stephen has performed signs and wonders. And so then the tension becomes this. Let me bring it in and we'll move to our last slide. The tension is this, and he nailed it. It's, do I speak? Okay, it's one thing for Stephen to be in trouble. It's a whole nother thing for me to raise my hand and say, I know Jesus too. I am full of the Holy Spirit as well. I think that's an incredibly wise point. Young friends, this is the piece. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing just a little bit more to close out. This is the piece that I need you guys to catch. The aha of knowing who Jesus is in your life, for you to come into faith in him through the work of the Spirit, to know that the Spirit of God is with you, that the Spirit is beside you, and that the Spirit is in you. You become an adopted son, an adopted daughter in the family of God. And all of a sudden, his Spirit touches yours. And we're into the proper noun portion of the evening. It confirms, God's Spirit confirms who we are, and we know who he is. One of my favorite things in the very opening Acts 2 was that we looked, when the Holy Spirit came, we looked back into John 14 and 16. And we said this, that Jesus said, you stay in Jerusalem, I'm going to send a gift that God has promised you, and you already know him. That is exactly what Paul is saying in Romans. We know who he is. And guys, when we are known by God, we know ourselves. What that requires is faithfulness. That requires you and I to be learning the story. And this is incredible. There's going to be hard stuff that comes in your path. My gut says there already is some hard stuff in your path. If it hasn't been too hard yet, thank goodness. The reason that adopting Rosie is such a powerful story in my life is that I have held my dead son before. We have four daughters, but our first child was a son. And so as I was telling my testimony to my friend Craig today, I was sitting over there in the coffee shop, looking into his eyes and weeping, because I know what hardship feels like. And guys, I know what it also feels like to be called a son of God. It's something that you have to learn to articulate. And it's not something that happens like this. Even though we practiced this morning, we're going to keep practicing because we're not gone from Fort yet. But I know what hard things feel like. And that is the call of being a Christ follower. We are not taken out of this world, but we are given a way through the world. And the way we move through it is just as Christ did, full of the Spirit. And that is the promise of being a son or a daughter of God. If that's something that you'd like to think through, talk through, ask questions about, again, your counselors love you. In fact, if you need this space, if there's something burning, your counselors will spread through the room and give you guys space in the middle. And what I'd love for you to do, counselors, is go ahead and ring the room. Take over the hearth side room if you need it. We'll turn the lights down and you guys will rise, if you will, and give yourself some space. And here's what we're chewing. This idea that the world that we're walking through is tough. There's gonna be hard things. But if we've got something to stand on, if we've got faith to stand on, nothing else will stand against us. That was the promise of Acts 6. And our external will look different because of our internals. Because the Spirit is with us. He is beside us. And the promise of God is He is in us. So counselors, ring it. Guys, take some space. Let's turn the lights down a little bit. And if you need to talk, this is your place to do that. I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, we tell that story with passion. For those of us who know what it is to be a son and a daughter of the King, there's an emotion, there is an intellect, and God, there's a confidence that changes how we walk in the world. So we give you the praise. Amen.